Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Union auto parts workers may be losing a big part of their paychecks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. General Motors and its spin-off parts supplier Delphi are said to be very close to reaching a deal on a new labor contract with the United Auto Workers. They've been working around the clock to come to terms before the week is out. And it's being reported the largest U.S. auto parts maker may get its wish to slash wages by half. Marketplace's Jill Barchet reports.
Delphi has to compete against low-cost auto parts suppliers in China and Canada. It wants to cut the wages of its longtime workers by half, to as little as $14 an hour. Gary Chasen is a professor of labor relations at Clark University. He predicts workers will vote to accept the pay cut.
They do not see any good options on the table right now. The idea that they can continue as a high-wage auto parts producer, I don't think that's reality anymore in the mind of the Delphi workers.
General Motors has a big stake in this game. GM spun off Delphi in 1999, but GM is still responsible for at least $7 billion of Delphi's retiree costs. Delphi still supplies many of the parts used in GM vehicles. GM wants Delphi out of bankruptcy as soon as possible. Delphi workers could ratify a deal as early as this month. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Blame a surge in bond yields and fears of rising interest rates for Wall Street's tumble yesterday. The Dow dropped 146 points and starts trading today at 13,489. The Nasdaq lost 26 points. The S&P 500 fell 20 points. But stocks in Tokyo have climbed to their highest point in 7 years today, spurred by optimism over Japan's economic outlook. You can tell how competitive the high-speed internet business is by the inescapable flood of ads on TV, billboards, and, of course, the net. With a battle so fierce, you might think providers would want to flaunt their lowest prices. But Rachel Dornhelm has word of a new bargain that AT&T prefers to keep quiet.
This week, AT&T came out with its lowest price ever for high-speed DSL, $10 a month. But AT&T is keeping this DSL offer on the DL.
Now, I understand why they're not making a great advertising splash about it. They're right at the knife's edge with their margin.
That's telecommunications analyst Bob Rosenberg. He's not surprised links to the offer are hard to find. The 10-buck deal was a concession to the Federal Communications Commission when AT&T merged with Bell South. It's available to people in 22 states who haven't had the service in the last year. Rosenberg says the fact the FCC required this cut-rate service reflects another era of telecommunications, when companies were heavily regulated and thought to be filling a social need.
The perception is that internet access is an unalloyed good.
Another AT&T concession, cheap DSL without phone service, will be rolled out by the end of the year. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Speaking of AT&T, the company will be joining Apple a week from tomorrow with the much-anticipated launch of the iPhone. The gadget that's being hyped as so much more than just a cell phone will be sold only at Apple stores and AT&T company-owned shops. And there's word today AT&T is bracing for huge demand. It's adding about 2,000 temporary workers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, in recognition of graduates pursuing careers in health and science and the teachers who inspired them. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org.
Having made a huge fortune buying fixer-upper companies and putting them under its private control, the buyout powerhouse known as the Blackstone Group is going public today, selling shares of itself to investors. The takeover management firm controls such corporate names as the cable operator Adelphia Communications. The investment managers who run the operation for their rich investors could walk away with their own stake in the company valued as much as $7 billion. So what's in it for the average investor? Well, let's go back to the slick image of the private equity guru in the movie Pretty Woman.
So what do you do?
Buy companies that are in financial difficulty.
They have problems, you must get them for a bargain, huh?
The company I'm buying this week, I'm getting for the bargain price of about $1
billion. $1 billion?
Yes.
Wow, you must be really smart, huh?
If these guys are so smart, and they're widely respected as the smartest and most sophisticated investment minds around, what if you could invest in them, in the deal makers who are behind all those huge acquisitions we've been hearing about lately? At the Tuck School of Business, private equity expert Colin Bladen says this could be your chance. Blackstone isn't the only one of these secretive firms that's been maneuvering to sell shares to the public.
It does permit the rest of us out there who are not the billionaires to be able to perhaps invest in this sector and realize some of the kinds of returns this sector has been generating.
But don't get the wrong idea. If you buy stock in one of these investment firms, Andrew Metrick at the Wharton School of Business says you should know you won't be buying a piece of, say, Chrysler, which is being taken over by a private equity company. You're buying stock in the deal maker.
They're not going public to get funds to invest in companies. They are selling a share of the management company, which captures fees based on those investments.
Sort of like buying a share of Fidelity Investments, he explains, instead of investing directly in one of its mutual funds. So why now are these savvy investors offering us a share of their future profits? The skeptics think the answer to that question might be right out of that scene in Pretty Woman.
Wow, you must be really smart, huh?
Maybe smart like a fox. Remember the dot-com craze? Boston University's James Post wonders if the deal makers just figure the time has come to cash in on their reputations before private equity mania reaches its peak.
You really run the risk of being the last person in when everybody else is starting to look to the exits. That's a bad place to be for any investor.
Yes, it's risky, but there are those alluring returns, and despite all those cautionary flags, many analysts say Blackstone's big launch is likely to be one of the largest initial public offerings in U.S. history, certainly the most lucrative in recent years, raising close to $4 billion. And that'll be taxed at a relatively low rate that some congressional critics are now pushing to hike dramatically. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us. Marketplace is going public, too, in a different kind of way. All our programs are available as podcasts. You can find out more at our website, marketplace.org.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.